It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Book of Luke, chapter 5, and we are going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down, and taught the people out of the ship.
Now here we see Jesus Christ coming to near the lake. And why he came to the lake? Because people were pushing him. If you remember last week, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was very sick. She had a high fever. And they requested Jesus to come to Simon Peter's house, and he went. And as soon as he prayed for her, she was completely healed. And that evening, whole town came to her door. And then we learned Jesus Christ laid hand on each and every one of them. And everyone was healed. So you can see whole town coming. And when you start laying hand on them, whole night was gone. And the morning Jesus Christ went to the lonely place, maybe in the mountain. And they start looking for him. Where is Jesus? Finally, they found him and they said, please don't leave this town because we need you here. Jesus said, I have to go to different towns. That's why I have come to preach the gospel. And so he comes to this Galilee. And here we see near the lake, he stood because people were threshing him, pushing him. So he saw two boats. And one of the boats belonged to Simon Peter. So he asked him, requested him, I'm coming in your boat. Could you please take it a little bit away from the land because people are pushing me? And so he sat in the boat and started preaching. And the word of God says when he finished his preaching, then he tells the Simon Peter, take this boat a little bit a deeper water. Let's read verse 4.
Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.
Now here we see he's sitting in the Simon's boat, preaching the word of God. I believe that Simon heard the message. Whatever the message he was giving is not recorded here. But he might be giving a message that you should forsake everything and follow me. And whatever he was giving the message, now he is saying to Simon Peter, let's go a little bit deep and you will catch more fish. When this message was given to the Simon Peter, Simon Peter was a little bit surprised why Jesus Christ was saying verse 5.
And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.
Simon Peter was not alone. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, James and his brother John, they were all partners, and they were working whole night and did not catch anything. And now this is the morning. And so Simon Peter didn't get a chance to sleep. They are tired. They are weary. And here Jesus Christ is saying, let's go a little bit deep and let's catch some more fish. But he did not argue. You know why? Because Simon Peter saw the miracle in his own house. His mother-in-law was completely healed immediately as soon as he prayed. And that night, hundreds and thousands of people were got healed and demons were cast out and many miracles happened. So Peter believed, if Jesus said so, and if I trust in him, it will be done. Now we were singing a song, Jesus Christ is the master of the sea. So he is the master of the sea. He has a power over the sea. He has created sea. He can calm down the sea and he can tell the fish to come to him. Simon Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's obedience. When you say it, I'm going to do it. Sometimes it sounds like a foolish thing. When God says something, people think it is impossible. But our God makes things impossible thing possible. That's why he is God. We have to trust in him. If somebody is blind and you say, God is going to heal you, he says, I never heard blind man can get healed. But the Bible says so. And so we have to believe it. Once you believe it, you will receive it. Sometimes you don't have a job and somebody says, God can create a job for you. People do not believe. How can God do it? My wife, she's a registered nurse and registered midwife. She starts working in that hospital, and I told her, you know, you're working Sundays and we need to minister to people Sundays and Saturdays. We had the Bible studies and we had Sunday service. She said she tried everything and talked to the supervisor and talked to everybody, but they said you cannot have Sunday off. Only every other Sunday you can get off. She said, okay, I'll take a lower job. I said, no, God will create a new job for you. You don't have to take a lower job. The word of God says, I will make you head, not the tail. I will keep you above only and not beneath. That time my wife said, you know, nursing only I know. And I don't know anything else. And all the nurses work Saturdays and Sundays. And she got a promotion. She doesn't work as a nurse. She doesn't have to find somebody's pulse or give the injection or give the medicine or nothing. She sits in her office and she works with the computer. And she makes more money than what she used to make before. So what I'm trying to say, at that particular time, she did not know how God can create another job for me. Nursing only I know. So the same thing now this Peter is thinking, fishing only I know, and now Jesus Christ is saying, put your net there and the fish will come. He said, according to your word, I'm going to do it. So once you blindly means like a childlike faith. When God says, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to trust in him, and it will be done. Let's see verse 6.
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake.
And see what he's saying? When they have done this, when they obey, the fish starts coming like a flood, and their nets start breaking. There were other partners, James and John. They signed them, means wave them, come on in, because they might be far away. Come on in, help us. And they came. And they came means they didn't come to just pull their net. They put their nets also. And both ships were filled with the fish. Can you imagine not only Peter's boat, the other partners' boats. And they're all filled with the fish. Let's read the verse 7.
And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and filled both the ships so that they began to sink.
The nets start breaking, so he asked the help. They came, they filled their boats. Now the boats are sinking. Now just think, they might be thinking, up to now, we didn't have fish. Now we got so much fish, and the boats are sinking. Now just think that boats are sinking, and they go down the drain, means the lake. What would happen? Their fish will be gone, and they will be dead. So what Peter is saying, let's read a little bit further.
When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord."
Peter started thinking, now the boats are filled, and we are dying, we are sinking. We are not worthy for this, what Jesus Christ has done. He was not saying nastily, "Get out of my boat." He was saying, "I'm not worthy to have these blessings. You have blessed us so much. We cannot even contain this." The word of God says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, when you give to the Lord your tithes and offerings, what he says, "I will open the heavenly windows," just the window, not even door, "heavenly windows and pour down the blessings, and you will not have room to store it." See the situation? They got so much fish and they don't have enough room to store the fish because the ships start sinking. And somebody says, "I don't see, I'm giving tithes, year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. But I'm not saying that my storehouse is filled and so much money coming and things like that." Ask somebody who did it. John Wanamaker, J.C. Penney, and some other people. They got so much money when they start giving tithes to the Lord. And we learn that they give not 10%, but 90% to the Lord. And still they had so much. That's called overflowing. Peter came to know, whatever the word of God says is true. I am not even worthy to receive all these blessings. So he said, "Jesus, I'm not worthy. Please leave me alone." Why? We are sinners. Why he's saying? Because fishermen, their language is bad. You go to India in the fish market. The fishermen's wives and those people are so nasty, so bad. The language they use, if you touch their fish by mistake and not buying the fish, they will use the foul language. And so the Peter is saying, "I'm not worthy, get out of my boat, please." What Jesus said, please read verse 9.
"For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men."
Here the word of God is saying why he was so surprised. Because so much fish, not only him, his partners, and everyone got so much fish. Jesus Christ said, "Don't worry, you're not going to sell this fish. You're not going to clean this fish. I'm going to give you a new business. You're going to catch men." He didn't know what really Jesus Christ was saying. Verse 11.
"And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him."
Can you imagine? Up to now, they were asking a good job. They're asking so many fish. Now they got a good job, good money, good everything. And what happened? As soon as they came to the land, they left everything and followed the Lord. That's what God wants you to do. Some people go to the school, 12 years of high school, 12 years of college, get the medical degree, become a neurosurgeon or some different kinds of surgeon, and give up everything and follow the Lord. There are people there. So these fishermen, they got a lot of fish, but when Jesus Christ says, "You're not going to catch this fish anymore, you're going to catch men." So what happened? As soon as they came to the land, They forsook everything. They gave up everything. To whom? Their father. And they left. Not only Peter and Andrew, but the James and John. All these partners followed Jesus Christ. Is that a miracle? Yes, it is. When you are struggling whole night, you didn't get anything, and you're complaining, we worked whole night and we didn't get anything. Here, within a split second, you got a ton of fish. So what he's trying to say? Hey, let me follow Christ. I don't have to worry about fish anymore. I don't have to worry about the job anymore. I don't have to worry about paying my bills anymore. I'm going to follow Christ. And he will supply all my needs. That's what it is. When I got a call from God, I had a good job, office, telephone, air condition. I'm talking in India. In India, in 1950s, you have an air conditioned office, you have your own telephone, and you have a beautiful office and then treasury, and you have the key to the company, the key to the treasury, and that kind of job you have a luxury. But when Jesus Christ called me, I left everything, just like this fisherman. I said, when Jesus calls me, this is nothing. These worldly things are nothing. I will get everything. And the word of God says, if you give up everything, I'll give you hundredfold. I said, well, God will provide. And that's the kind of vision Peter, James, John, and Andrew got. As soon as they landed on the shore, let somebody take control of this fish. We are going to follow the Lord. And that's what they did. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. We work hard. But the same time, when we die, we go empty-handed. So if somebody says that, why am I working this hard? I can just follow the Lord. So once you follow the Lord, you will not have any lacking. Okay, let's read the verse 12.
And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Now see the situation. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, first time they are following Christ. And here comes the man in the city. Now this man supposed to stay out of the city. He's a leper. He could not come in there because they are unclean. And if he's walking on the street, he has to say unclean, unclean loudly, so the people can go far away. He's coming to Jesus. He's falling on his face and begging to Jesus. Says, if you have a will to heal me, please heal me. And he fell down and worshiped Jesus Christ. Now all these disciples, they are watching what Jesus Christ can do. Because if you touch that leper, you will be unclean. And so those disciples looking at what Jesus Christ can do, he just touched him and he says, it is my will, be thou clean. And the word of God says what? Immediately, that man was healed. Read the verse 13.
And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him.
When we read the verse 12, he said, this man was a full of leprosy. When you say the person is a full of leprosy, means nose is completely distorted. Ears are falling. And his face looks so ugly. You didn't see it. You can see it in India, but now you don't see too many because they found out the cure for leprosy. But they have to take some medicine for, 5 years, 6 years, something like that. But before that, there was no cure for leprosy. And when you look at that person, you get scared. When I was young, when this leper used to come in a city, they will sing a song. They purposely sing a song so the people would know they're leper there. People who are half leprosy, they will pulling the cart, and some of the other lepers will go and collect the money. Means they will come in the group like a 10 or 12 people. When I hear the song, I will run for my life. When I got saved and I start serving the Lord, and when I heard this thing, Jesus touched the leper, and immediately the leprosy gone and he was completely healed. Can you imagine? Within a split second, his hands became fine, his nose and eyes and body, everything completely healed. Didn't take time, immediately. He was like a lying down like this, and Jesus touched maybe his forehead, and when he stood, completely normal man. And I went to one town, and here comes the leper. And he was far away. And he said, "Can you pray for me?" When I looked at him, his hands were like this. And the devil started giving me some fear. "Don't touch that man, or you will have a problem." And so this man is standing there. He said, "Could you please pray for me?" Like Jesus, I said, "Come here, come close." And he came and he knelt down. And I laid hand on his head and prayed and said, "Be thou healed in Jesus' name." And this man went home. I didn't see him again. Right away he left. And my hand started burning like anything. And so I started casting that fear out. Washed my hands several times and said, "Lord, forgive me, Lord, this unbelief." And a year later, when I went to that town, I forgot about that leper. And here comes the man, and he starts saying, "Could you please pray for me?" I could not recognize who this man was. I said, what do you need? He said, "I need a job." I said, "Well, God can give you a job." He said, "I want to tell you what happened to me." He said, "You prayed for me. My hands were like this. Look at my hand. Now I make a dough. I make my own bread. And I'm completely healed." I said, "The God who healed you, he can give you a job too." So the point I'm making, this is not just the story. This is the real thing happened. And when you believe this, you say, "If Jesus did it, I can do it too." And the Bible verse supports that. Book of St. John chapter 14 verse 12 says, "Whatever the miracle I did, you will do also, and you will do greater." So my faith increased. And here the word of God says, immediately the leprosy departed from that man. Was completely healed. Now, Jesus Christ tells him to do something. Read the verse 14.
"And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them."
Now, when you read this, and if you are a newly born Christian, you would not know why Jesus Christ told this man to go to the high priest and give the sacrifice, whatever the Moses is commanded. And the people say, "Oh, then we should be doing today." Now today also people, you know, when they get healed or something, they bring some offerings or sacrifice to the church. That is not what Jesus Christ was saying. When you get healed, you give sacrifice. He was saying, when the leper is in the leper colony or anywhere, before that, they have to go to the high priest or priest. And the priest will find out if you have pimples or if you have some scars or some kind of disease. That priest will tell you to stay away 7 days. Come after the 7 days and then I'll check you again. I don't have time to tell you, but if you go to the Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, this both chapter will tell you. Chapter 13 will tell you what the procedure was if you are a leper. Chapter 14 tells you when you get healed from leprosy, then the Moses has commanded to give a certain kinds of offering according to your strength, if you are poor or if you are rich. And so you have to read Leviticus chapter 14 verses 1 to 32. We don't have time. And so here Jesus Christ is saying, go to the high priest. Now show him that I was a leper. What should I do? So the high priest, just like a doctor, he has to examine, and now he is completely healed. The priest will say, okay, now do this sacrifice, and then you can go to the community, and then you leave. And that's the kind of thing. So Jesus Christ said, don't tell any man. So it was not possible to not tell anybody. This man was excited. But he went to the high priest, according to this, but this news spread around the world anyhow. Verse 15.
But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities.
Once you see the miracle, demon possessed, healed, or blind man healed, or leper healed, that news goes fast. When you tell somebody, don't tell anybody, that's the time people tell more to many, many people. And so many people came, and why they came, he says, they came to be healed. Once somebody prays for you, you have to believe that I'm healed. That's the way your faith grows. I just prayed and left. Year later, when I went to that same church, the mother of the girl came and said, Pastor Peter, you remember laying hand on my daughter? I said, yes. God healed her. That's the time she said she had the brain damage, like a vegetable. Today she's in a school and having good grades. That's a miracle. But I didn't see miracle right away. Sometimes the miracle happens automatically right away. Sometimes gradually heals. But when God is healing, you believe it and you're going to receive it. Some people get immediately, some people get gradually. But God is in healing business. This man said, if you want me to heal, then you heal me. What Jesus says? Yes, I want to heal you. And God healed that man. Okay, let's read verse 16.
And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed.
All the hundreds and thousands of people are coming, and more people are coming, but Jesus says, I want to go in the wilderness. I want to go where the people are not there to bother me. And why he went there, he says he went alone to pray. He wanted to sit with his Father and renew his strength. Sometimes when you work hard, you get tired. You need rest. You cannot work 24 hours. You get what? Burnout. Read the Bible and pray. Some people fast and they work and they fast and they fight. Because when you have no food in your stomach, your head gets screwed up. You fight more in the hungry stomach. That's why if somebody's fighting, say, hold on a minute. Could you sit here? I have best food for you. And let that person eat that food. Because when the food is in your stomach, you don't feel like fighting. Only you feel like fighting when you are hungry. Here Jesus says, let me go. Withdraw from these people. I know there are people bugging me to pray. But this important thing is I want to go and pray and renew my strength. And so he went.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.